Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips to the PC. It is Sunday, the 21st of December, Anno Domini 2008, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And yes, we're it today.
This has got to really confuse folks, though. Because you sit there and say, yes, this is Sunday, the 20th of September.
20th of December.
Today's 21st?
According to the calendar right in front of me, yes.
Yay! You know what that means?
No.
Days are getting longer.
Yes, they are.
Yeah! All right, summer's around the corner.
Yep, no question.
Days get longer. That's what I look for.
Less time to sleep.
That too.
Oh, well. Yeah, but they are. They're confused. What's happened today is... we're in the midst of our first good winter storm of the year.
Yep.
And Steve was going to pick up Chris. Unfortunately, Steve is apparently stuck in his driveway. And he suspects it'll be a good 2 hours before he actually gets out. So it's pretty unlikely we'll be seeing Steve, which is kind of sad because he was the donor boy this week.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I hope he realizes that he doesn't get out of doing donuts.
No. I'll readjust the system when I get back home. But yeah, so it's just the two of us. And I, of course, am getting over a really nasty, bitter cold. I was actually out all week. I was, and that's pretty
good,
rare
huh?
for me.
Yeah.
That's pretty rare for me.
I know. Friday night there, you sounded very congested.
Yeah, I know. I was pretty stuffed up on Friday.
I toughed up.
It sounded like Sylvester Stallone, Adrian. but yeah, I don't even do good impressions when my voice
is good. Yeah,
that was pretty sucky. All right, here's our first story of the day. As you know, every week we do a poll. This week's poll is about Blu-ray players. In a survey of 2,529 U.S. adults, in a recent Harris poll, only 4% claimed to own a Blu-ray player, while 6% said they still owned HD DVD players. Meanwhile, 87% of people claim to own DVD players, making the player practically ubiquitous. The bad news for Sony is that only 9% of non-Blu-ray owners said they are likely to buy a Blu-ray player within the next year, even after being informed it was the definitive next-generation player. Also, while 4% claim to own Blu-ray players, 5% claim to own PlayStation 3, which actually includes a Blu-ray player. The bottom line is people don't own Blu-ray players, people aren't planning to buy Blu-ray players, and at least 20% of the people who own a PS3 don't even know they have a Blu-ray player. So much for having a 50% share of the DVD market by the end of 2008. That just does not seem to have worked out for Sony. So our question is, beg your pardon, do you have a Blu-ray player? And the choices are, yes, it's amazing. Yeah, it's okay. Yes, but it's disappointing. I can't tell the difference. No, I've seen no compelling reason. And nope, couldn't care less. So far, we have 50 votes. And 58% of you have said, no, I've seen no compelling reason. Followed by, nope, couldn't care less. And only two of you think it's amazing. One of you can't tell the difference. At least you're honest. And I say many people can't.
Yeah, I know. It's...
And then, yes, it's okay, and yes, but it's disappointing. Have no votes at all yet. And so it's probably because very few people have it. And the two who do have convinced themselves it's amazing because they spent all that money on it.
Well, yeah, and they're probably their nose right up to the screen looking at the pixel difference to whereas, you know, you and I mean, I do see a big difference when I go from regular TV to HD.
Right.
The clarity and everything else is great. As a matter of fact, actress and actors, not so much the actors as the actress, are hating it.
Yeah, they hate it.
Because now close-ups show every little wrinkle, dimple, and line in their face.
Right. Movie makeup has compensated for all of that years ago. Television makeup hasn't. The big problem, of course, is the lights are much different for television and radio, so you can't just use... for radio, certainly, the lights are a lot different.
You
don't need
here.
Lights for...
How do I look sideways?
Yeah, right. This is my good side.
Yeah.
The lights for television and for movies are very different. And I think it's television lights are bluer. Anyway, the point is you really can't use the same exact same type of makeup, the same color scheme of makeup. So they haven't really done much about that yet. I guess they will in the future, but they haven't done it yet. And certainly a lot of the stuff that people are watching was done years ago, you know, or mm-hmm. months ago at yeah. least. So I'm sure we'll see that change. Anyway, once you have voted in the poll, I know that's not enough for you because you have a lot to say about Blu-ray players. So check out the little yellow box underneath the poll. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Ding.
Thank you so much.
The dinger's over there.
The dinger's over there. Hi, ho. Anyway, where you can put in your opinion. While you're there, check out my website. I have a forum. I have a newsletter. The good part is you can search the newsletter. So even if you join now, you can search hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of entries from my newsletter. Rants and raves, tips and tricks, websites, questions and answers, everything you could conceivably want. Out of a website, I clearly have all the good stuff at AskNick.com. And for a mere $15 a year, I don't see, you know, it's not too late to get that as a Christmas present for someone, the geek in your life, or to get it for yourself and put it under your own tree, or to lead your significant other by the hand over to the computer and
point
and
them,
do it for him or her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our poll of the week, and that's our news of the week.
You know, which brings us down, you know, by the time folks listen to this, it's going to be
past Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to be past Christmas, so we hope, as you're hearing this, that you folks all had a great Christmas. And again, you know, if you are having got the new computer, you know, and you're trying to set it up, and, you know, here it's Saturday, and you're listening to us, take the time to, you know, just relax. It is the long weekend, and if you're going to be setting up that new computer, take your time and set it up correctly. By that, we mean, you know, it comes loaded with a lot of this free stuff and everything else.
You really wanted to say crap, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the holidays. I was trying to be nice.
Okay.
And, you know, take the time, folks, and make sure that there's a good firewall on there, that you do have a firewall. And we recommend the various antivirus programs because there still are a few viruses out there, not as many, but you still, you know, got to do due diligence. Have one on there because there are, like I say, some that will come and bite you in the butt. But then get in some good anti-spyware and Trojan software. By that, we're recommending, you know, the Super Anti-Spyware and the Malware Bytes. And a couple other ones that you might want to go and while you're on the web is, again, Revo. Since you got that brand new computer, it's nice and clean. There's not much on there. Install Revo first. For all you new folks out there listening, Revo is a great package in that you can put it on a machine. I don't even care if it's an old one, you know, put it on. That has a lot of software installed, but the clean one's even better. And it will, when you go to uninstall a program, you use that instead of Windows uninstall program. The uninstall program, politely, sucks because it doesn't do it. So when you uninstall a program and then you go and install another one, it keeps adding to the bulk of the registry. And the registry just keeps getting longer and longer and takes longer to load. But if you use Revo, and it will go in and, you know, not only delete the program, uninstall it professionally, it goes into the registry, gets rid of all the entries in there. And that's the big thing. And then it'll also go into the program directory and make sure any remnants that Windows doesn't clean out will also get rid of those. So definitely try Revo. And the other one, like I say, is the Malware Bytes and the Super Anti-Spyware. Get those on and it'll help you keep your machine running a lot cleaner and a lot smoother, and you'll thank us in the long run.
And for those of you who don't have paper and pencil handy, wow, I sound good. Wow. You can, if you go to our website at soundbites.org and click on the links tab, one of the links, the actual fourth link, is the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show. You will see them. You will see two lists, actually. One is by date, and the other is alphabetical. Revo, Super Anti-Spyware, and Anti-Malware
Malware Bytes
are all listed there, so you can find them alphabetically, a link to where they are and everything else. So you should have no problem getting hold of them. Oh, my. This is going to be one of those days, isn't it?
You know, it's before the holidays. Yeah, keep them busy. I got the rum balls brewing.
The rum balls are fermenting.
Yes, I made the rum balls. It was on Saturday the 19th. So sometime this afternoon after we do our little bit in Second Life, I'm going to start rolling rum balls as they have been, like I say, aging gracefully.
And that's the secret, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then our next show, folks, for you that are listening delayed, we will be back on the air January 11th. And we should also mention, though, we're all
live. We'll be live on the air.
We'll be live on the air the 11th.
Starting at noon.
At noon. Our new format is going to be, with the first of the year, we're going to all be doing a one-hour show that's from 11
noon to 1.
12 to 1.
Yep.
So Soundbites is going to be on only an hour.
Yep.
So mark that on your calendar. The Rumball Show will be on January 11th from noon to 1.
So
we'll have to post it on the webpage.
We'll have to post it on the website, and we'll have to post the rules for the Rumball Show drinking game.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be interesting. All right. Mm. Do you want to read one or do you want me to read one?
You want to read?
No. I meant, do you want to do one of those or another news item?
Let's do one of these and then we'll go back to another news item. All right. This one is from Warren in Brockport. And he's running Windows XP Service Pack 2. Updates questioned. Problem. I just did a clean install of Windows XP Service Pack 2 32-bit on my Dell workstation. I have not yet applied MS automatic updates as I am trying to make the build as crash-free as possible.
Good luck.
I'm sorry, Warren. That's an oxymoron if I've ever heard one. It just doesn't happen. You know, it's just
right.
Those time-delayed efforts. Oh, I'm sorry. I am used to the Mac OS, so many Windows installs are always an adventure. This machine will be used primarily to run CAD software with minimal web surfing or email use. I have installed McAfee for a firewall and a virus filter. The installed software beyond this is minimal. I've seen about XP Service Pack 3 is what he's questioning, is pretty grim. Should I even bother? What individual MS updates past PS2 are essential and which should I avoid? As I recall, half of the MS automatic updates seem to break more than they fix. Is there such a list of essential MS updates? Is there a bundle of good updates that are all in one place? Thanks for your advice. Regards, Warren.
Well, yeah.
Because he says minimal. That's all it takes is minimal use.
Right. It's like playing Russian roulette. You know, one round is minimal, but.
And right now, Warren, for the most part, what we're seeing is Service Pack 3 is okay.
Yeah.
Since the last few revisions to Service Pack 3, I'd say, you know, since it is a clean install, go for it.
See, this is what we've said before. Both XP and Vista work much better on a clean install than they do on, you know, any sort of upgrade. And when you do a clean install and you truly haven't done anything else, then it seems that the service packs work really, really well. In addition, let me reiterate that you load Revo before you do much of anything else. So that'll help. And I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I think that if you are installing clean and everything is clean, you should be all right. Now, you need to be careful of one other thing. You say you installed McAfee. If it's the version of McAfee that came with your XP disk, then it is very likely it is a 90-day trial. If this is a reinstall, you're already past your 90 days. But in any case, it will stop working after those 90 days are up. So if you've installed McAfee to be a firewall and to be your antivirus program, and it is the one that came with it, the free, and I put that in large quotes, version, then you're not actually safe. I might suggest you take that off and go with Avast or AVG for your antivirus. And the name has escaped me.
Malwarebytes?
No, for your firewall.
Oh, a Zone Alarm.
Zone Alarm, thank you, for your firewall. So I would suggest that those are the things that you check out and install rather than McAfee. They're lighter than McAfee,
McAfee and
your machine
semantics
won't run as slowly with those. I have to be honest.
Please do.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting thing: the budget plan. We are entering perilous economic times. I think we all know that. The budget plan unveiled by New York Governor David Paterson this week would slap a sales tax on all downloaded digital content, including iTunes tracks, dubbed the iPod tax by some, the iTax by others. The proposal is just one of 137 new or increased taxes that Paterson unveiled Wednesday in his 2009-2010 budget as he attempts to close a U.S. $15.4 billion, that's billion with a B, dollar shortfall for the state, the largest in its history. According to the state's budget website, the tax would impose state and local taxes on purchases of virtually any kind of digital content to close a loophole and achieve tax parity. The tax would apply to any electronically delivered entertainment services, including downloaded software, photographs, games, videos, movies, and music. For example, with the passage of this bill, a book, song, album, or movie would be subject to sales tax no matter if it was bought at a brick-and-mortar store or downloaded online. The sales tax would generate an additional $15 million in tax revenues for the 2009-2010 budget and $20 million for the 2010-2011 budget. New York State sales tax is currently at 4%, but many cities tack on additional local sales taxes. Rochester, New York, for example, adds another 4.25% to end up at 8.25%. Each track downloaded from Apple Inc.'s iTunes store then would generate 4 cents in revenue to New York State, and four additional cents to Rochester. Some living in Manhattan, for example, would pay about $1.08 to download a song from iTunes. If you're living in Rochester, it would be $1.08 and a quarter. Probably they'd roll it up to $1.09, right?
Well, that's 8% sales tax.
Eight and a quarter? Yeah, we're 8.25.
I thought we were 8.
According to the Rochester, New York website, it's Monroe County.
Yeah, we're only 8%.
The Monroe County sales tax is 4.25%. You better go back and do some checking,
Sonny
Jim.
But
you better still check it.
Yeah, my wife is the one that does. But you know what is funny? You know, and I know we don't usually get into politics,
right,
and that type of stuff. One, Lonsbury is asking everybody to mail empty soda cans because one of the taxes is for soda.
Non-diet soft drinks, yeah.
But, well, that begs the reason, you know, well, then should we get rid of, Cheese Whiz and everything else? That's fattening. Put a tax on that.
Well, it's not about the fat, I think. It's about the sugar.
Here's my one question. All right. They're going to raise all these taxes to help cover this, but they haven't mentioned on how they're going to cut so they don't spend any more.
Right, right. Well, I think that non-diet soft drink tax is going to go through because that's going to bring in $404 million just next year.
Wow.
I think that there's no way they're going to look at that number and not go with it.
Well, the one idea, Lonsbury, I can't take credit for this because he was starting it up, trying to find ways to rebel because this is getting ridiculous. I mean, me as an employer, you know, I mean, granted, I'm not a huge company, but, you know, it keeps biting in.
Yep.
That you got to keep paying more and more and more taxes. And yet, you know, giving folks raises and everything else so they can afford this other stuff, you're kind of caught in a rock and a hard place. And he was trying to come up with some ideas on how to get back at him. You know, and you can't do anything malicious or anything else like that. But, and my wife has always said this too. You know, they say, you know, well, would you put term limits? We do have term limits. It's called the power of the vote.
That's right.
And what folks need to do, what they need to do is see if any of these taxes go through. And any of the folks that voted for these stupid asinine taxes, they put up a website so it's staring us in the face. And come next time elections, when it comes to, you know, voting and seeing how these folks voted, if they voted for it, then they're out.
And they're out. And this is really, I have to say that this is, you know, this is America in action. We vote with our votes, we vote with our dollars, and we vote with our feet. If we keep raising taxes, well, look at the businesses that are leaving New York State now and the businesses that aren't coming here because our taxes are so high. And if we keep raising them, fewer and fewer businesses will come here, more and more businesses will leave. I understand that the governor has a pretty huge problem on his hands, but I don't know that this is going to help. And let's look at it from another point of view. He wants to overtax. He wants to retax. He wants to tax downloads. One of the things that we keep talking about is low carbon footprint, ecology, blah, 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 blah. There's no packaging for a downloaded piece of software. So there's no plastic. There's no putting anything in a landfill. There's no, there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's all, it's carbon free.
Yeah. And Eagle, green, we've gone green on that aspect. So green using the computer.
Right. So this would mean if you buy something online and it's not just iTunes music. I mean, that's the most obvious one, and, and calling it the iTax is very clever. But it's iTunes music. It's books you buy from Amazon. It's stuff you buy from ThinkGeek. It's anything you buy online. You go to Zappos.com, buy a pair of shoes, you now owe 8.25% sales tax on it. So I don't know that that'll be – well, it, we don't know it'll be 8.25%. We know it'll be 4% if this goes through because New York State sales tax is 4%. Now, only if Monroe County then tax on their 4.25% tax.
Well, they're also doing away with their tax-free weeks.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
And the, what is it, also the other rebate program. What was it called?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, you know, people don't care about that. Yeah. They want to hear computer
stuff. But the thing of it is oh, and where I'm coming around full circle is you folks can use your computer to track this stuff.
Right.
You know, you can sit there and say, oh, I didn't know. You know, you can, you know, do some research. You know, you're sitting there on your duff anyways. Use that computer, do a little Googling, and keep track of how our senators and legislative folks vote with your computer and keep track of this. So, you know, you don't have to go whining. You know, if it's not happening, you know, and they're passing these taxes and that, and you want, you, with your computer, you can sit there and do the research and get them out of office next time around.
Right. The they actually already have those sites online. The problem is they're generally set up by political geeks.
Yeah.
So the average person can't necessarily tell quite
they need
what's
a neutral,
going on.
Yeah, they need a neutral one that's just, all right, these here's the folks in office, here's how they voted, and they have, you know, a tally. Yay, nays.
I'm sure Jerry Seward, is, once he hears this, he'll Twitter me and tell me where this thing. Jerry's he's the most astonishing human being. He's the guy I want to grow up to be.
He knows. We got to get him back on
everything
after
about
the
everything.
First of the year.
Absolutely. 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 Oh, for you Mac people, too bad that Steve's not here now. On Thursday, Apple acknowledged that some users have had problems updating their Macs to the newest version of Leopard, Mac OS 10, 10.5.6, point left elbow, point J, point slash, point Tuesday. In a typically terse note on its support site, Apple confirmed that the update may hang during the installation process. And I quote, when attempting to update software using software update in Mac OS 10 10.5, the update process may stop responding while configuring installation is visible in the update window. Unquote. Mac OS 10 10.5.6, which included nearly 40 improvements in application fixes, was released on Monday. Prominent among the changes was one that increased the frequency of background synchronization between Macs and Apple's MobileMe online service. Apple pinned responsibility for the glitch on updates that were only partially downloaded. Another quote, only partially downloaded. But offered no other explanation, including whether the fault was on its end in the update tool or due to user action. The company told users to delete the partial download. The files can be found in the library updates folder, in the updates folder under the library folder, said Apple, and then rerun the software update to download it again and attempt to install it. Users started reporting troubles as soon as Apple issued the update. Others chimed in with advice to reboot the hung Macs, then to re-download the 327 megabyte update file from Apple's website, or possibly the even larger 668 megabyte combo update. 668 megabytes. That's the size of a CD.
Yeah.
Most users who tried those alternatives to the much smaller update via the OS X built-in software update mechanism said they did the trick. Some users posting to the support forum remained angry even if they'd found, after they'd found a workaround. This is my favorite one. I have had my Mac for over a week now, and so far haven't been able to do anything much useful beyond backing up data and reinstalling the operating system over and over, said one user Thursday. What a nightmare. It is just the most frustrating upgrading experience I've ever had with an operating system, Windows included. Ouch. Ouch. Apple has always banked on the loyalty of the Apple purchaser. Mm-hmm. But there are people now who are buying Macs who are not Apple fanatics. They're not people who have spent their entire lives bowing at the altar of Jobs.
Right.
They are buying machines because they've been told they're better, because they've been told they work better, because they've been told they're more virus-free. And now they're finding they have many of the same problems that people have with Windows, and they're not happy.
Well, they're also, you know, especially if they're on a PC, and they've done PCs for a long time. And like you say, you go in the store, and nothing against Steve and the rest of them, but they'll sit there and say, oh, it's so easy to use. Yes, once you learn, and you've right. got to go through a whole new learning curve. And that's what got one customer of mine very frustrated. Wound up giving it to his kid. The kid loves it.
Right.
But he just couldn't handle it. He says, I'm too old, you know, I'm too old and settled in my ways that as far as changing from one operating to this, right. learn the file structures and this and that and putting stuff here and there. And like you say, dot this and elbow this. And
yep. Well, and that's why a lot of Windows users who do make the switch to Linux prefer KDE as their desktop. So instead of instead of Ubuntu, they use Kubuntu, and the deal is this: there are multiple front ends available for Linux. There are dozens of them. The one people seem to know the most these days is GNOME. That's the one that comes with Ubuntu. However, there's another one called KDE, which is very, very Windows-like. So people who are used to Windows might find KDE a much easier way to go if they move to Linux. Because I'm finding a lot of people are beginning to be much more interested in Linux.
Experiment.
And why not? If you've got an older machine sitting around, you know it's going to be slower. That's okay. You know it's not going to be as powerful.
Well, it's not your primary machine.
You get that. But you want to experiment with Linux.
Yep.
Then they put on something like GNOME and they have to learn a whole new front end. Mm-hmm. But if they put on something like Ubuntu with KDE in it, it has the little, of course it doesn't say start, but it's a little start button in the corner, and the things come up the same way, and all of that stuff happens. Hey, it's Chris. It's Steve. They're here.
Whoa.
They have arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Chris and Steve. We are so delighted to see Steve and Chris here. You got your driveway shoveled?
At least enough to dig the car out.
Right.
I was a little annoyed when I saw my stepdaughter's boyfriend slept over last night. But then he came out and helped, which was good. But
well, yeah, right.
It could have been sooner, which was bad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we were just talking about the Mac and the new OS.
Yeah, the We were just talking
Snow
about
leopard?
The. Well, we were just talking about the update glitch.
Oh yeah.
You know, something told me when I saw that come up on my screen.
Never mind that. Pass the donuts. What the hell's wrong with you guys?
Get Jesus the important crackers. Business done.
Thank you.
There you
and
go.
It's good to see both of you.
Oh, and Merry Christmas to you and Dave.
Because by the time this airs, it will have already been past Christmas.
Happy New Year, then.
That's exactly right.
Something told me when the announcement of 10-5-6 came up, something said, this time, don't jump on it right away. Some little birdie told me. I'm glad I did.
I had that happen, too. I was actually on a customer's machine making sure they had all their updates loaded. And 10.5.6, when did that come out? Oh, about an hour ago. I'm going to wait on that.
Yeah.
You can, like we always say, the idea. Pioneers, yep. You can always tell them with the arrows in their back.
Well, apparently it turned out that it was a partial download that was causing the update to fail.
Well, yeah, but except that it's like a million people had a partial download.
Right.
Not likely.
Well, no, what I'm thinking is the upload failed at the other end.
Right.
When they posted it, it didn't all post. Because I've seen that. In fact, sometimes when I'm uploading the show to our...
Did you pass the...
I did. FTP server.
Oh, thank you.
When I'm uploading the show to our FTP server, sometimes it'll time out, but then when I go do a directory listing,
right,
it says the entire size of the file is there.
Right.
So if you don't look too close, you think, oh, it made it.
Well, right. Right, right, right. And it is likely what happened at their end.
Yeah.
Yes.
Computers sometimes lie.
But you would think, and I'm just spitballing here, you would think somebody would have tested that.
Yeah.
Their Apple freaking computer, for God's sake. You'd think if they upload something, they would test the upload.
I can't argue with you there, Nick.
You said the magic word, though.
Yeah, you'd think. The other problem that happens, and we hear about
they think different.
Yeah.
Well, they're in California.
Thank you. Here all week, try the deal.
Yep. The other thing that can happen, and I hear it happen a lot with podcasts, too. People upload their podcast, notice immediately there was a problem, and then re-upload the correct one. And I've had that happen with me, too. And the servers at the other end cache it too fast.
Right.
So that could have happened, too. They use Akamai as their distribution server, so maybe they pushed an update to Akamai, and it didn't make it to all of who knows how many different servers Akamai is using.
I'd never considered that. That's a good point.
Yeah. That is a very good point. But at any rate, it seems to be cleared up now.
Yep.
As I updated yesterday, and it was fine.
Now, in the meantime, is my machine caching the update? Did it try and upload it when I checked for software?
Potentially, yes. And there's two, well, three. Didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition. I got a new T-shirt, too.
Oh, wait, I got to see this one.
I
have to move past the Infant of Prague here. Oh, nice! Yucky, 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 patang, patang, boom, zon, boing. Very nice, very nice.
You have to be old to get that.
Yeah, you do, unfortunately.
Although Spamalot is, making the rage. Yeah.
That's true.
What was the question?
So your question. So the software update on your Mac, there are three different ways it can update. The default way is to download, install, and then it deletes the download.
Right.
But it leaves behind a receipt that you got that download. So the next time you're on software update, it looks, you already got this when you don't need it again. So what can happen, and what the fix is from Apple, is go into your receipts folder and delete the receipt that says you got the update that you didn't. So that's one way to fix it. The other way that software update works is you can say download and keep the update. And that's good for people on that run a small network or even a big network. That way you download it once. And then install it on all your machines through your local network instead of downloading it on every computer individually.
Well, my question is, software update, the software update application went and saw that there's an update available for me.
Mm-hmm.
Did it try to bring in that update and then wait for me to say, okay, go ahead and install?
That's a user preference. There's a notify me, and then there's a download and notify me when it's ready to install.
All right.
Two different preferences.
So but Apple did say that there may be a partial download in your updates folder, which is inside your library folder.
So that's what we should check.
Was it an update or receipts?
It said partial update.
Partial update, yeah. Maybe both even. So the partial update is in your update folder, and the receipt that you got it is
in
the receipts folder.
What they're essentially saying is if you did get the partial download, it's sitting in that folder, but there is no receipt because it never finished the installation, so there's no receipt. Because it's the download that creates the receipt. It's the installation.
Right. When the install finishes, it leaves the receipt.
Right, right, right. Yep. And it erases its files and leaves the receipt.
Yep.
So it never got through any of that. So there's a large potentially large.
Yeah, and that was the other big
partial download.
That was the other big issue. On some people's computers, it was 100 megs, and on some people's computers, it was a gig.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the other things Software Update does, is it checks what computer you have, what hardware you have, and only gives you the thing you need. The Apple also makes, and that was one of their other suggestions, they make a standalone updater that will take you from 10.5.5 to 10.5.6.
And that's where I was going. Is that going to be a safer way to go?
Yes. In fact, sometimes that almost always is. In fact, there's another updater that's usually much, much bigger, and they call it the combo updater. And that will take any 10.5 to 10.5.6. And that is usually the safest update, but it's also the biggest.
668 meg this time around.
Yeah. Well, when you have Roadrunner Turbo, what's the problem?
It still takes 5 minutes.
Of a CD.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a full size.
Yeah, and then, but it's a Mac.
I guess the 10.5 server update is even bigger.
Oh, sure. Sure, it would be.
Yeah.
Thank you. I've had my donut. I feel much better now.
Did we talk about Macworld?
Not yet.
That's sort of the biggest news in the Mac community and sends a shiver for trade shows in general. Apple announced that Steve Jobs will not be giving the keynote at Macworld coming up in, 3 weeks now? Second week in January. And that, in fact, this is Apple's last Macworld they will be attending, the 2009 Macworld in San Francisco.
Which likely makes this the last Macworld.
Well, no, IDG, who runs Macworld Expo, already said, we have a great show planned for 2010. Planned.
Yeah, right.
We'll see what happens in a few
weeks. Plans can change very quickly.
Plans change.
Depends on how much they have on the non-refundable deposits.
Non-refundable deposits, right. Yeah. And we'd already seen a couple of big vendors pull out of Macworld already this year. Adobe and Belkin had already pulled out. So that sort of brings the issue of what's been happening in trade shows in general, that Comdex is gone, PC Expo is gone. Most of the big trade shows are gone because companies in general have a problem with trade shows because it gives them almost artificial constraints about product delivery.
I used to love Comdex, though.
We have to have this product ready to show. And either it's not ready to ship yet, and people are mad they can't buy it yet, or we ship it before it's ready, and they're mad because there's problems. So trade shows in general have been an issue, and that's one of the reasons that most companies, or trade shows have been shutting down, and most companies don't go to trade shows. And it's really, really expensive to host a trade show.
Yeah.
And the biggest annoyance is that the Macworld trade show is a week after Christmas, your biggest selling season.
Yeah. Right.
It made a little more sense when we had Macworld in Boston, but that got canceled a few years ago, that the January trade show was all your summer projects and the August trade show was all of your Christmas products. But then they cut out Boston, and now it was just San Francisco. So it's several different issues sort of coming up together. And then in Apple's official press release, they basically said, we don't really need a Macworld Expo that brings 30 or 40,000 people together because they get 3 or 4 million people through their stores every year. So, they do 1,000 Macworlds every year in their own stores.
But I like the trade shows because
it's a place for people to meet.
Yeah.
Who cares about the products?
Well, because I actually
it's the
got
party list that you really want.
The folks that I was very impressed that I got to meet, one was Mr. Hayes from Hayes Modems. We went to a dinner with him. He was fantastic to sit and talk to. And then another delightful gentleman to listen and talk to was Peter Norton. Because he literally got up on
stage. Does he have his arms folded permanently?
He's shown that way, actually.
Yeah. We were in the state, this slanted seating, like arena seating. And he literally came out, had a stool, sat the stool down, goes, oh, wait 1 minute. Went over, took off his jacket. He says, I hope you folks don't mind. He rolled up his sleeves, crossed his arms, says, okay, wind me up. Let's go.
Yep.
And sat there, and he was only supposed to talk for an hour. He wound up talking to us for an hour and 45 minutes. He says, if you folks don't have any place to go, he says, we can keep going. And we did. And believe it or not, the other gentleman that we cursed and criticized and everything else and up and down that I actually had to sit – I got to sit at a table and talk to non-computer stuff was Bill Gates.
Yeah.
We sat there. There was a bunch of us.
Never see Bill Gates sitting down with people at another one of these gigs, though.
Yeah, I mean, he sat there, and we were talking about his car at the time. The car was impounded.
Yeah, the car that he couldn't bring into the U.S. because there's no crash data because only made one.
We were just talking about everything except computers.
Yep.
And the guy was, you could tell he was relaxing. Was a joy to talk to, but then of course we had to have some a-hole come by and start complaining about, you know, one of the products that ended it, that broke the whole mood. Bill Gates turned to us. There were six of us. Turned to us and said, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure, but I got to move on. I know he would have stayed there longer talking to us because you could tell he was enjoying himself because it was non-work related.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you get this one idiot. Well, you know, what are you going to do about this? And, you know, it's like, you know, it's a party.
Right.
Not the place to bitch.
I was at the Rock Geeks meeting yesterday, and one of the things I love about that is almost none of the talk is tech stuff. We talk about anything.
Right.
It's wonderful. They're wonderful people.
Right. However, we are here to talk about tech stuff. So I do have one thing I want to say. Did you guys hear about the, we've talked about, you know, the $100 laptop.
Yeah.
Right? And they're actually $200 pretty much or more, $250, well, $350.
It's a smaller dollar these days.
Hi-Vision in China has both announced and apparently released a $98 laptop.
Okay.
It's a netbook. It's got a 7-inch screen. It's a pretty anemic 400 megahertz ARM processor. It's a MIPS CPU, which is even more anemic. It says it's got a gigabyte of memory, a solid state for the drive.
Okay.
It's only got 64 or 128 meg of RAM.
Wow.
Well, you're paying $98. Mm-hmm. You're going to get what you get, right?
It's an iPhone or BlackBerry scaled up.
Essentially, yes. 7-inch screen, etc. You can either run Windows CE. Man, I didn't even know Windows CE was still around.
Yeah, it is.
It's called Windows custom, Mobile now.
Yeah, right. Or a custom version of Linux.
Nobody liked the WINCE acronym. WinCE.
Right.
WINCE.
Right.
Yes,
right,
we do.
Right. But again, you know, it runs Abbey Word. It runs Firefox. But mostly it's designed to take you to the web and let you do everything up on the web.
So it has an Ethernet port or is it wireless?
Oh, it's got Wi-Fi. It's got Ethernet.
Does it have FireWire?
Oddly, it does not for a mere $98. Unusual,
that
I know.
That was a dig at the new MacBooks.
Yeah. Yes, I know. It is from a company called Hi-Vision, not a company many people know. I'm not entirely certain of their quality or anything else, but for $98, take a flyer.
And it's got an SDHG slot, so you can add more memory to it.
Right, it's exactly right.
Comes in a bubble pack.
And it's pink on this picture I just
found.
Right.
So they have multiple colors. So yeah, they're out now in China. I believe Korea is next. I don't believe you can buy them here in the States yet. There's another one called from a company called MENQ. I don't know if they pronounce that MENQ, Menk, or some other thing. That one's only $89.
No kidding. With cassette drive.
That even brings, you know, disposable
punch
computers.
Tape. Right.
But, yeah, if anything breaks, throw it away and buy a new one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what I've been saying for a long time. If this, and obviously it's not going to be a computer you want to do a lot of work on because it's got a very small screen, a very small keyboard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But let's say you're going to go give a presentation. If the thing is less than a gig, you can put it on a disc. If you're going to overseas and you just want a laptop to connect to your email and everything else, get one of these. If the TSA confiscates it, as they apparently are doing with people's laptops, you've lost $89.
My concern would be reliability, though.
Yeah, again,
$89.
It's $89.
Yeah, but if I'm giving a presentation,
well, right. Maybe you don't use it for that.
Yeah,
but for you know, you take it around with you when you go to the coffee shop in case you want to jot down notes, or you want to Twitter people, or you want to do all of that stuff. It's 100% what that's for. It weighs less than 2 pounds. It's 7 inches long. It's like a paperback. Stick it in your pocket, and then you're on your way.
How about the battery?
3 hours.
And this is a replaceable, like double A's, or what's it got?
No, it's rechargeable.
Okay.
So, you know, in terms of a little thing, it really kind of works. You know, for me, the idea that it's there. I still would rather have one of the Acer Aspire ones or one of
those.
Well,
they're working on a 10-inch version for $299.
Yes, and that's still cheaper than any of the others.
Right.
So, you know, a 10-inch screen now becomes an actual usable laptop.
Yes, it does. Agreed.
So, yeah, the 7-inch screen or the 8-inch or the 9-inch. The toys. But for $98 or for $89, I would take the flyer. You know? Get one in and see what it's like. Use it. Let's say it lasts you 2 months. It's $40 a month, $45 a month.
That's less than your cable bill.
It's less than your cable bill. So you play with it, you try it out, you see what it does, and for $89, you've both assuaged your curiosity and possibly doubled your cool factor for a mere $89.
Unless you get the pink one.
Depends on your audience, doesn't it?
Picky.
So, yeah, but that,
yeah,
I thought
don't
that
go
was
any further
cool.
There.
All right,
yeah.
We got another question here. Mike from Penfield writes, FYI, on the Soundbites website, under the section where you list the websites mentioned on the show, he dates this 12/14, the link to Malware Bytes is not shown. I found two sites using Google search that appear to be legitimate, but I am afraid to download the program until I am sure one of them is safe. Please list the best one on your webpage. Thank you very much. I learn a lot listening to your show. Best regards, Mike.
Oh, you're right, Mike. Malware Bytes. Earlier I said they were all here. I looked at the other two. I didn't look at Malware Bytes. I just assumed that it was there. Steve will put that up even as we speak.
I could have sworn it was there, too.
Yep. Apparently not.
Now I got to remember the secret URL because I don't have my computer running.
You're right. It's not there.
It'll be there before this airs.
Yeah. Yes. That's why I put it on there.
Steve's putting that up at this very instant. I promise you, if you go there right now and look for it,
yeah,
you'll see it there. Steve, what a whiz he is, getting it up instantly.
Through the magic of
possibly
time
before
travel.
I've stopped
it'll be
speaking.
There before this
a
airs.
Distortion of the time continuum.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
Yep. So we're all set there.
Yeah, we'll get that up. I apologize. I didn't know that either.
Well, we're still...
I remembered the secret URL.
Very nice.
Well, you know, we're
of course,
still...
now you've cached it on somebody else's computer.
Organic memory.
Yeah.
Getting some of the updates. That's why I've been leery about doing the current update right now as far as the recommended system because, I'm still recommending, XP. I can still get it. But yet a lot of folks are, have no choice. When they go out and buy these computers right now in the superstores and everything else, they're already coming preloaded with Vista. Oh, which brings me to another mini rant. I got to do a mini rant.
Uh-oh.
Folks, just because a CD is still shrink-wrapped, and there is no key code on the side of it, you can't use it on another computer.
Right.
I had a person bring it in and said, I want to downgrade this to XP because they got Vista on it. And he brings the CD in and he goes, well, here's the CD. It hasn't been opened yet. And I go, well, where's the key code? I think that's on another computer. But this one hasn't been opened yet. Because they preloaded.
Because the computer was opened.
Right.
The key code is on another computer. That's where that license for the CD belongs.
Right. Folks, it's not the CD. It's the license.
Not specifically the license code.
I mean, I believe that it's legal to use one CD to put Windows on as many machines as you want, as long as each of those machines has its own separate code.
You're really
paying for the code, not the disk.
Now, but still can't make a copy of the disk.
But right. The other key thing, though, is like on Dells and Gateways and all that, quite often their specific CDs also have drivers.
For that specific
mark.
And actually, that's really, really annoying. Apple does that, too. Every model computer has its own unique CD with its own unique drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I want to reinstall a Dell or reinstall an Apple, I got to get that identical disk to get all the right drivers for that computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's illegal to do that. Granted, it's not opened, yes, but until it has that key code on the back, it cannot be used.
Show us a letter of transferring license from Microsoft, and you can transfer it from the old computer to the new computer, but you can't use it on both.
Well, I think if the one crashes, then you can legitimately move it.
Well, the big problem there then becomes the...
Because it's still one computer, one license.
Right, and the Windows Genuine Advantage, even if you repair your own computer, you put a new hard drive in your own computer, it thinks it's a different one. You got to call Microsoft and say, I just put a new hard drive in.
Yeah, because if the motherboard blows up or anything else, that's technically a different computer.
Yep.
And it's all these annoyances that make Linux attractive option.
Well, that's where, Microsoft is making it very simple. It's one license, one computer. That's all they care about. As long as you take it off of one or if it's to a new one, and it's still one computer, one license, that's okay. You just can't have, like we used to, folks back in the old days with Windows 98, they'd sit there and buy one copy and put it on 10 machines.
And that's why we have Windows Genuine Advantage now, is because so many people were breaking the law. They might not have known that was the law, but they were breaking the law.
Well, again, I assert it's not the law, it's the contract.
It's the contract. Thank you,
And there is a difference.
I remember one customer I had to reinstall their PC with a new hard drive, so we had to call Microsoft to get Windows running.
But that is it's also a law, though, in that it's piracy. And you can be arrested.
Well, copyright law is civil, not criminal, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
but that's an actual law. The license terms
is
that
contract,
Microsoft imposes on their sold software.
Right. So making
is a contract.
Making
there's
a copy.
No law.
Yeah. Making
it's a law. Yep. Where the law falls in is when you make an illegitimate copy.
Making a copy of a disk is illegal under copyright law. Using the same license on two computers is a violation of the contract law.
Yep. Which is different.
Yeah.
And
it's still wrong.
I've had people argue with me all the time. Well, I didn't sign a contract. That's true.
It's the shrink wrap contract that has never been tested in court yet.
If you want to be the person who
look who jumped into
hi there.
Oh ho ho.
Hello. Merry Christmas. Oh ho ho. Merry Christmas.
You do it much better than I do.
There's a reason for that.
And I have the beard. The bird?
Yes.
I have the bird. The bird.
In the
bird.
Beard.
The bird is the word.
We
I have
some
the bird nest
if you want one.
In the beard.
But as your absent producer, I want to wish you and all of our listeners Merry Christmas. And for the occasion, I have baked you, not the listeners, cookies.
Oh, aren't you the sweetest human being on earth?
Sugar cookies and chocolate chips.
Now, you're going to be with us on January 11th for the Rumball Show?
I have not been told yet. We have not been issued January schedules yet.
Okay. Because, we are only going to be on for an hour.
Just because it's next week.
Okay.
No, January 11th, starting January 11th, our show will be only on from noon to 1.
Yep.
Why are you shortening it?
We aren't. They have another show that is coming in that time slot.
The station, somebody came in and bought the hour, some sort of financial analyst.
Oh, yeah?
Came in and bought the first hour, and they have contractual
very
obligations
there,
at 1. So they're on from 11 to 12. We're on from 12 to 1.
And thank you, Dave, because, Pillsbury does really good cookies.
you bake them.
You bake them. They're good.
This is true.
There's a difference between the...
Baked with love.
You probably don't know the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah. I know the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Slap him. Go ahead, Al. You just slap him.
Did not just do that.
Yes. We've got to have you in anyways on the 11th because that is going to be the official Soundbites Rumball show. I've already made the Rumballs. Matter of fact, they went into the refrigerator yesterday.
They're fermenting.
So they will be fermenting for another couple of weeks.
Hooray.
So they should be very ripe, no open flames. Which we should be okay. The computers won't generate that much heat. But yeah, you got to come in and.
Okay, I only have one question for you then. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be my DD? Who's going to be my designated
driver? Somebody's got to be the designated driver.
Where do you live?
I live out in Rush, south of Henrietta.
We'll get you home.
All right.
We'll find a way.
We'll get you home one way or the other.
I'm all in then.
Okay.
That happened to me at work one time many, many years ago when I worked in a bank. My boss called me into his office. We had this, 2-hour meeting. And he had Rumballs that his wife had brought in. And they were pretty moist. But we were sitting there really working through a couple of serious problems and kind of picking at the Rumballs while we were talking. I got up to leave the room, and my legs went out from under me. And I sat back down. I went, what the? And he started to get up. He said, why you? And he fell right on the floor.
Oh, no.
When he finally got back in his chair, he called his wife and said, what did you do? She said, well, I tripled the rum in the recipe. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much.
Well, I screwed up in that when I was doing the calculations, because I do normally times three.
Ooh, good cookie.
I wound up going, heck, I got enough. I'll do times four.
Nice.
Well, what I did, though, I was thinking in my head, and I'm thinking, and I go to throw it all together, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is still awful runny. I go, oh, shoot, forgot to double, actually four times correctly, the vanilla wafers that go into it. So I did that up. Luckily, I had the vanilla wafer, and I wind up, and I come up, and I had this.
A 10-pound rum ball. Yeah.
This rum ball, literally, it's got to be 12 inches around minimum. And I says to Lori, my wife, I says, how about we just leave this as one big rum ball, we pass it around to everybody, and they take a nibble out of it.
That's how my dad made cookies.
Or make rum pins and bowl.
Yeah. When my dad made cookies, you know, you make, you know, a dozen cookies, he got three out of it, and they were nice big cookies.
Yep.
Well, I just did the cutout cookies yesterday, and I think I did like 36 or 38 dozen there cookies that are sitting on the table right now, getting ready to, I got a frost, so it's today. The chocolate chewy ones are done, and like I say, the rum balls will be done sometime today.
Very nice.
So we're ready for the January 11th show.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, good. We're counting on you then.
January 11th, that's 2 days after that. If I recover from the Rumball show, I'll be giving the presentation at the Rochester Computer Society.
For what?
Audio editing.
Very nice.
As a special guest, they've asked me to come in and talk about audio editing.
Somehow, well, there's they think nobody I know else something knows about more. It. Well, then, well, you'll show them.
Yeah, I guess so.
Good
well, sure that. Well,
January 13th for anybody by
right,
calendar.
Thank you. Excellent.
And is it the same date? January 14th, Nick Francesco will be speaking.
Oh,
at
yes,
the Apple
he will.
Meeting.
Oh. Yes, he will, now that you mentioned it. Yes, he will. I don't remember about what, but I'll be speaking about something.
Make it up as you go.
Doesn't matter.
Well, sometimes that's the best way.
Was it Asimov that said that? You know, he was asked,
yeah, if, he's how long does it take you to prep a speech?
Yeah.
If it's a half hour speech, it takes me about 2 weeks. If it's an hour speech, it takes me about a week. If it's a 2 hour speech, I'm ready right now.
Well, that's the thing, you know, because I've done a number of speeches, you know, different groups, and I just like going in, you know, and just talking about the technology and what's going on and taking people's questions there, you know, and otherwise, you
right.
know.
People say, how long does it take you to prepare a speech? And I say, well, 30 odd years.
Right.
that's literally,
that's
yeah.
a good way to put
you
it.
You know, what do you expect?
I just get a few thoughts in my mind and maybe some things that I want to talk to if it's slow, you know, and people aren't popping out the questions. But once you get going on a topic, it's like, bam, 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 questions keep going. And then, and as happened to the three of us as past times, you know, as we've already been asked to shut it down and we're heading out to the parking lot, we're still answering people's questions and talking to folks.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just a great time talking to our audience and answering their questions. And
People need help. They need questions answered. I get that. Sometimes I would like to talk about dang near anything else, but I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the most important question is, where are we going for beer?
That is the most important. That's the question I need answered immediately.
World's problems get solved.
Exactly. And that is one of the reasons I don't go to meetings so much anymore. Because people want, and I get it, they have questions, they need them answered, I get it. Yep. But sometimes I want to go to the meeting to listen to the person who's giving the talk.
Yep.
And it's both rude to that person and annoying to us when people would rather talk to us about their computer questions. You know, before, after, but during the meeting, leave me alone, I want to see the show.
Well, that didn't happen so much last May when you were at my talk.
No, because it was at Cider, and they don't think I know anything about Mac, so they don't bother me there. I like that meeting.
Okay. Did not remember you were president. And
yeah, right, I was the president. I was everything but the treasurer in that group.
Yeah.
That's also true of the PC users group, as a matter of fact. Everything. I've never been I don't do money. But I've been everything else in all of those groups.
Yeah, same here. You know, used to go to it and then be sitting there trying to listen to the guest speaker, and I got somebody in the back, because I just sit in the back just
right,
to get away.
Right.
And they go, I got a quick question for you.
Right.
You know, pointing to the front, you know, it's like, no, you know, maybe I want to listen to this. And then they get ticked off and it's
right.
Like,
and then they're angry at us because, like, we're the jerks.
Yeah.
Right. There was one year in which there were three groups. There was PC Cubed, the Frog Computer Society, which have since joined into RC Cubed, Rochester Computer Computer Society.
Okay.
And Apple Cider. I was nominated president in all three groups simultaneously.
Uh-huh. And what'd you do?
I declined all three nominations. Thank you very much. But there was a moment where I thought, now that would be interesting.
Yeah, running through.
You could have been the boss of everybody.
I could have been the boss. I am the boss of you. I am the boss of everybody. I could have been, anyway.
I've spent so many years sticking it to the man, I don't know if I can be the man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, that was our deal. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for another week. It is past Christmas when you hear this, so please have a safe, prosperous, joyful new year. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel, momentarily. I'm Nick Francesco. You've been listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.